This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6th minute of injury time.
Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Here's Hulk, Deeney.
I do not believe what I've just seen. Troy Deeney has scored from a Leicester penalty that was saved by Almunia.
Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes. Do not scratch your eyes.
You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And joining us for the opposition view this time round from the Butter Pie podcast, it's Ollie. How you doing? All good?
I'm good, thanks, Justin. How are you both, Pete and Carlos? You all right?
All good, mate. Yeah. All good, thank you.
All good.
We are very good indeed. Carlos is recovering from a weekend pimping Americans or similar to that kind of. You've been looking after the Americans very, very well. Did the recovery day go in between Good Friday and Bank Holiday Monday? It felt like it might have been missed.
The plan was there to have the recovery day, but it didn't happen. No, and I was suffering quite a lot yesterday. As you will see in the vlog when it comes out.
Oh, that's the weekend vlog part two. Well, let's turn to Ollie and ask. Ollie, sir, welcome. Always lovely to have you. How has your Easter weekend been, and how has the Preston season been up until then? Let's start with the weekend. How was the weekend for you?
Well, it started off quite well. Yeah, and you're playing against the worst team in the league by a considerable margin in Rotherham. I'm sure Rotherham fans probably won't mind me saying this, but they're by far the worst team I've ever seen at Deepdale by a considerable margin. They were woeful. It made us look like prime 2011 Barcelona, which is quite hard to say after supporting Preston North End for the past, God knows, 23 years of my life. And then clocking on forward towards a nice 2 days without a Saturday without having Preston North End letting me down one more time. We go through to Monday and we'll go there needing the win against Birmingham, and then we lose, and then for another dampener, there's UB40 that plays on afterwards, giving us a concert as we go out. So what isn't it nice to end?
I can see him queuing it up. I can see Peter queuing it up as you said UB40. I can see him.
We'll be coming to this later, everybody. Well, there you go. Yeah. Always ready at our fingers. So, yes, disappointing one. Because, of course, they renamed St. Andrews. They're now calling it St. Andrews at Knight something Park. I was like,
Knighthead or something, yeah.
Knighthead. What? Why? What? It's St. Andrews. Nobody's going to change that. Nobody's going to refer to it as anything. Let's be honest, unless you get in and you're the first one, but like everybody still refers to it as the Reebok, don't they, for Bolton Wanderers. It could be called Christ knows what since then, but no shithole, maybe that would stick. But other than that.
A tough sheet or something, Bolton now. Tough Sheet Stadium or something. Is it not? I'm pretty sure it is called the Tough Sheet. Yeah.
The Tough Sheet Stadium. I like that very much. Oh, well. So as a weekend, it's had its ups and it's had its downs, including UB40, who occasionally make a showing here, as you probably heard. But never mind. What
about the rest of the season? You did go through a period where your manager was, it was looking dicey, and then it seemed to pull back away from the precipice, something that at Watford we never do. We drive right over that precipice and just keep our foot down all the way till we hit the bottom. What's happened with you guys?
It seemed like it came to the end of his tenure. I think it's happened twice now where Ryan Lowe's got to the stage where 99% of fans have wanted him turfed out of Deepdale for as long as can be. And then all of a sudden we go on a fantastic run of 5 or 6 games and he's all back and merry. But as you mentioned there, we got to a stage where I think it was 5 wins in 23 games, which is fantastic form, clearly. And he got the dreaded club statement, manager has our backing, which usually means we're giving him our full backing, but if he loses the next 2 or 3 games, he's gone.
Right.
So he got given that. And then suddenly after that, we've turned it up. I'd never have given us a chance of playoffs coming back in December, but now I think we're only about 4 points outside of the playoffs with a game to play, and all of the teams are losing around us, including us, which is nice to know that we're good at missing opportunities. But it's a roller coaster season, and I just hope it doesn't peter away like the rest of the 23 years that I've been supporting Preston North End. But we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, that's.
I love optimism. Optimism when it sounds like that's the best, isn't it?
What I love is the use of the phrase Peter. Obviously, being called Peter, I have a vested interest in this. But things disappointing seasons peter out. The Peter principle is known as being promoted to the point of your own incompetence. Honestly, I'm just being hamstrung by the whole of the English language. Never mind. I'm going to turn and show exactly how incompetent I am by trying to use the word of a player who, I mean, I've stopped trying to predict who's been the player of the season so far. I want to ask about a player. First of all, he looks about like he's 7 years old, and his name is Mads Frøkjær Jensen. Is that his name? This guy's piling in with the assists, and he seems to have had a heck of a season, but yet he's maybe flown a little bit under the radar of many Championship fans, possibly due to ITV4's fantastic coverage of the Championship. Who knows? Tell us a little bit about him and how he's been this season.
Yeah, he's been sensational. I'm going to throw the word optimism and be, you may think I'm very optimistic, but is it the fact of Mads being very good and perfect for this level, or is the fact that everyone else is crap around him? So he's by far the best player I've seen at Preston North End since Aidan McGeady back in 16-17.
Wow.
He's the kind of maverick sort of player where, even though he may look like he's at the game, a moment of magic he's able to create out of nothing, and he wears his socks down. He probably wears them tiny shin pads, knowing him. But he's not the most physical players in the team, but within the 10 role, he finds himself in little pockets of space, and his passing and distribution's fantastic. He's very simple in how he plays, but he's very effective at how he does it. So what I would say is, don't give him any amount of time on the ball. He loves the ball into feet, which is weird enough for a Preston team, because they're just like, what's ball into feet? Ha-ha, lob it over the top for the big lock.
Yeah.
So it's been a nice change, but I can't see him staying at North End fairly soon. I think he'll probably be off to pastures new come either summer or January, because he's far too good for us.
Well, we had a player called Samuel Kalou, who was supposedly 28, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
On the same basis, I'm about 7, right? Ridiculous. This Mads fella, he's 24. He does genuinely. He looks like he's 7. When he was 7, he probably just looked like an embryo still. Ridiculous. What's going on with him? But he's playing in the hole behind 2 strikers. You're playing 3-4-1-2. Is that a reasonable kind of description as to how you're playing him?
Yeah, reasonable way to say that. He just likes to roam around between the 2 strikers, and then obviously not get supported by anyone else in that 4. So it's probably more of a 7-1-2 at times, maybe a 6-1-1-2, if so to speak, with Liam Miller if he's playing. So yeah, he plays in behind Will Keane and Emil Reese. Obviously Will Keane, at his time at Wigan, he does like to drop in and around to help out within bits and bobs, but notoriously he's just allowed to free roam, and I think that's the position that he likes to play within.
Fair enough. You mentioned Liam Miller, and I'm sorry, we therefore have to come to the game earlier on in the season, whereby for the first half, looking at Liam Miller on the left, up against Tom Dellibashiru, everybody's favourite right back, not doing very well in midfield now after all the supporters have been going, he's not a right back, put him in midfield. Tom cleverly comes in, puts him in midfield. Oh, go figure. But yeah, Liam, your lad Miller was pulling him a new one in the first half. And if we all remember that game, it was 1-1 and it was we probably quite happy to see 1-1. You switched him across to the right-hand side and put him up against two experienced players and he disappeared completely. And of course, in fairness, we ran amok in the second half and it ended up obviously a very depressing day for you guys, obviously very, very happy for us. But this Liam Miller, has that been the story of his season? Has he been, because he's number two in the assists, he looked really good when he was up against somebody where he could expose their weakness and make them look like a piece of cheese. But when he goes up against experience, he's not really been there. How's he been doing?
Yeah, you could probably say that in terms of, especially when he's on the left, albeit experienced or not, when he's played in his natural position, where he's allowed to play on the left and cut inside on his right, which he obviously loves to do and tries to bend it in the top corner, he's been fantastic. And obviously against inexperienced players outside like Dellibashiru, and I remember Archie Gray played out there for Leeds especially, and he ended up tearing him a new one. So he's most effective when there's obviously inexperience and he's playing down the side that he wants, when he gets switched over to the right, he's not as effective because he's still contemplating trying to cut in. And I don't know why, because he's trying to match what he does fantastically well on the left as onto the right. And it just doesn't work out for him. But it's a story of, I think, our season, the fact that we don't have a right-sided wing back. We have Brad Potts, who he'd been playing like 46 championship games back to back and then gets injured, and we don't bring in someone to replace him. Shock horror. We're just going to stick with whoever we have. And so we've obviously got Robbie Brady, who's got his right foot for standing on. Well, he's not going to obviously play out on the right. So effectively, you're going to have to put someone like Liam Miller on the right, which obviously limits his game, but makes us more assured because he's clearly able to play wing back, but he isn't as good as going forward on the right as he is on the left. So story of our season, we're putting square pegs in round holes yet again.
When has that ever been the case in the championship? You mentioned about, has the championship just not been very good? I think one of the things I think that we've seen from the championship, and it'd be interesting to see if any of you guys agree with this, is there's this insistence that you invert wingers, and yet the amount of goals that still come from crosses is ridiculous. Yeah. It just seems to be an insistence that we're going to, no, we're going to go and invert, we're going to come in, and you just end up clustering all on the edge of the box and playing players on their weaker side. So they're always turning back rather than exposing pace. And it's been overall, I think it's as a championship itself, I appreciate those guys looking at the top end, it's all tight and it'll all be exciting. The race for the playoff will always be exciting. The relegation thing will always be exciting. But frankly, I think the championship this season has disappointed overall. What do you say first, Ollie?
Yeah, I expected it to be full of quality. You see the teams of like Leicester. I thought they'd blow us all away. I thought they'd have won the league by now. You've got Leeds, you've got Southampton, albeit Ipswich as well. I thought they'd do well, but I didn't expect them to do as well as they are doing. And it looks like they will get over the line. Yeah, I expected the quality to probably even be maybe too much for North End. I'd never expected us to be top half this season. I expected to be there and abouts of potentially a relegation battle. But I've been disappointed with the quality. Obviously, for Preston's ability, I'm very happy for how it's panned out. But yeah, I just expected more because it seemed a very strong championship going into it, and it's just probably not played out as everyone's thought it would be.
What about you guys? How have you thought about the quality of the championship? I love championship football no matter what, probably because of a lack of quality in many ways. But have you been disappointed, or have you been quite okay with what we've seen so far this season from the league in general?
I don't think anyone's blown us away, really. Leeds away, I think they blew us away, and Sunderland. But apart from that, if we'd have been a bit more together and a bit more at it, we could have quite easily beaten a lot of teams that we lost to. Yeah, it's not been all that great. Speaking as a Watford fan, it's not been a season to remember, is it? If this was in the old days of end of season DVDs, the sales would be in the single digits, I would have thought, because who would want to look back on this season fondly? It's not exactly been rip-roaring. So the short answer to your question is no, I've not been that impressed with the Championship this season, and the long answer was the one I gave.
Very good. Carlos?
Yeah, look, I think in terms of the teams that came down from the Premier League, you would have expected them to be running away with it, as you said that. So I think the overall quality has been poorer. And I look back to the transfer market at the beginning of the season, not really many teams did a lot of business. There wasn't really a lot of teams that spent a lot of money or changed things up. And maybe Coventry are the exception to that with bringing Sims in. But yeah, overall, it hasn't been brilliant, has it? I think it's exciting in terms of the division. The going up is not over. Going down is not over. And there's those few teams, and I'll probably include Watford in that, that are just doing nothing for the rest of the season. But yeah, normally by now we've got somebody that's won it, or at least somebody you could go and hang your hat off, and you can't at the moment. So probably says more than it should, really.
You asked the question there, Justin. If we were still in the days of kind of end of season DVDs and all of that, who would go and buy it? I'll tell you the answer to that. I loved the end of season video and DVD, but of course this was in the times when you didn't have Sky News showing you every single goal and everything being on the internet. But I still loved that. It was great.
If only if it was still done with Mike Vince pretending he was doing the live commentary when clearly he was like dubbing it on at the end of the season. And if it had the terrible graphics as well between games and interviews with players that like were shot on an old Cine 16mm, then yeah, maybe. You'd only watch it once, surely.
No. I used to watch them a lot. I mean, you know me. You know exactly how sad I am. What I particularly enjoyed was that here we are outside the training ground. There's lots of trees and we can see exactly how blustery it is. Shall we put a wind thing over the mic? No. Let's go.
They were a certain quality, weren't they, those videos? There's something charming about them in a way.
I love them. There must be something that each of you misses from football previously that's now gone. Inexplicably or otherwise, there must be, surely.
The corner here, Peter. That's put me on the spot a little bit.
I know. That's why we edit this shit.
Kind stewards, I miss, and the whole kind of general atmosphere. I think halftime used to be. I've said this before, but halftime used to be part of the match day experience. Now we've got people kicking balls from the penalty spot to try and hit the centre spot to win 10 grand that will never happen. There's no sort of match day experience anymore. It's literally the game, the boring Mr. Cubit in the middle, and could you all leave now? Which isn't really how I remember football, certainly when I started going in sort of 85. So the whole match day experience is lacking.
I like that very much.
It started going downhill for me when they started removing bottle caps off of bottles, because that fucking irritates me. And what am I going to do with this? Quite honestly, I'm not going to kill anyone, am I? And now I can't put my drink down because I've got to hold it in a freezing cold day for the rest of it. And I think the other thing I miss, not that I really remember it because I would have been underage, but having a beer in your seat would be lovely. You know,
just I don't think I've ever experienced a bit
rugby-ish. Yeah, but I've done a few European ventures.
Yeah, okay. Did we ever have that in the Football League here, Peter? Beers in the stand? I don't think we ever had that.
We must have in the 1950s, Peter. You were there. Tell us.
No, not particularly. I don't even remember. I don't even remember beers on terraces, to be honest with you.
Well, I'll tell you what then. I'm ignoring the question that you asked, and I'm saying that's what I missed.
Yeah, no, that's what you'd like. That's what you'd like.
There
is some beer sales per se inside the ground, do I? I think that was something that was of
90s. I've experienced it a couple of times at like Bayern Munich places. It's brilliant.
You were smashed out of your tiny mind at Bayern Munich. Harry Kane scored about 5 goals and you don't remember any of them.
No, I don't.
That's probably why you're not allowed to have a beer in your seat. Not everybody, just you, Carl. Anyway, let's turn to Ollie. Ollie, is there anything that either you miss or you think would enhance the game of football? Because let's face it, we're here. Welcome to the Three Old Farts podcast.
In terms of actually on the football pitch, I think we miss out a lot on screamers. I don't think there's been many screamers without how the football's progressed. Like, you look at some of the videos of the old goals, for even going back 10 years ago, you see them from like 40 yards out, whipping and bending into the top corner. And I think it's now, you look at one or two per season, rather than comparing against what you probably get about 15, 20. One that springs to mind, that Maino Figueroa goal for Wigan. You'll never get that nowadays. It's a completely different game, and it may have gone for the better, but you sure miss seeing someone out of the blue slam one into the top right-hand corner from about 40 yards out, don't you? I'm thinking...
We've
We've had a season of fewer goals, but mainly because we've not been very good getting into the box until, again, on Saturday. We had a bit of both of it, didn't we? We had Rajovic and we had an Eddie the Truck KMB smash one from miles out. We've been very lucky. We've had a few of that in what's been a mundane season. But did you notice there, Justin, did you notice what Ollie said? When you look back on those season videos and you got to see those goals, car, those videos, they were a great idea, weren't they?
I used to buy these end of season videos. I'd probably fast forward to the games that I really wanted to see, and then it would be once, and then it would be archived in a, you in a, and never looked at again, you because it's not you, relevant anymore.
You would,
it's not
you relevant. Would press it's play, and then with 20 minutes to go, you'd walk down the road and kick some bins, because that's what you do most of the time. There we go. There we go.
Just right. To get that match experience.
Exactly right.
Hi, I'm Adrian Mariappa, and you are listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Before we get to, obviously, where the rubber hits the road, I do think it's time to hear that certain band from Birmingham once more, just in honour of, obviously, last Saturday, but also our new embryonic feature that is just as bad as all the other embryonic features. It's time for 1 in 10. Old men dad dancing. It's so sad. What can I say? Right, sir. So here is something where we go past basically your last 10 managers, and all we need from you is a one-word review, although if you want a few more, it's our rules, so everybody ignores them anyway, and a mark out of 10. We include interim managers because sometimes people can't remember them, and that's very good. Now, we're going to go back to current manager of Peterborough United, but he had 49 games in charge between 2010 and December 2010, so he basically for the whole 2010. How do you remember him, or how is he remembered? Darren Ferguson when he was at Preston.
His dad pulling the four low knees out when he got the sack.
Oh, yeah. This is good. This is very good. So four Man United low knees you had, because of course you famously had David Beckham as a low knee before he then became David Beckham. But he had four players there, and was it literally the day after they sacked him that they pulled him?
Yeah, the day after we sacked him, Ferguson pulled, well, obviously, the main Fergie pulled him, pulled all of them back, recalled him, and then it was that season that we actually went down as well, so it was the deciding factor. Yeah, he got the sack, and then his dad pulled the players out, and then we went down.
I like
probably
this.
Probably because of it. We had a young Danny Welbeck on loan, actually.
Oh.
It was fairly good as well, so yeah, not good memories.
Dear, give us a mark out of 10 for Darren Ferguson. I doubt it's going to be glowing.
Two?
You get two?
Hang on a minute. Is it Darren that we're scoring for that, or Alex Ferguson? He's the one who took the lone players away, right?
Well, let's have a look at the evidence, shall we? He had four players from Man United, so doing all right. Out of 49 games, he won 13, drew 11, lost 25. Win ratio, 24.4. Not good. Not good.
I think we've made our decision.
And he was relegated. So I think Ollie, two. Oh, mate, generous. What can we say? He was followed only for two games. Now, these ones we always like because he had two games. Guess how many games he lost? Two. It was David Unsworth, who current legend at Everton still, and he had a bit of a managerial appearance. But any memories of David Unsworth, or have you mentally tried to block that out?
I can't actually remember Unsworth, actually. Oh. I might even contemplate putting him above Fergie for the fact that Unsworth never got us relegated.
That's true.
2.1.
Well done.
Now, you then came to another character. Now, this is very, very pleasing. If we all remember Hull City going away to Manchester City and getting thumped. And at halftime, a certain fella, well known for being orange and being Sam Allardyce's assistant manager, Mr. Phil Brown. He had 51 games in charge, won 15, drew 15, and lost 21. 30.95 was his win ratio. So better than your Unsworth, better than your Ferguson, but that's still probably damning with faint praise. Do you have any memories of Phil Brown?
Terrible football. It was just terrible. It may not have been his fault as well, because we had a terrible team at the time. The majority of the only thing that I can even remember of Phil Brown isn't when he was North End manager. It was the Jimmy Bullard situation. Yeah, yeah. That's the main thing you think of when it comes to Phil Brown, and he's managed the club for over a year.
The team talk on the pitch, that was him as well.
That was Man City one.
It was very egotistical, probably, just to show kind of like authority. And I think it's no other manager would do that, even if you're getting tonked 4-0 away from home. But he's better than Fergie, and he's clearly better than Unsworth, but not by a margin. So I'll give him a 2.5.
Well, after him, Unsworth came back in for another caretaker stint alongside Graham Alexander, who played for Luton. So I don't think that's going to improve on Unsworth's 2.1, obviously. But then we come to somebody who was outside of the game. He made his name in non-league, a guy called Graham Westley. He made his name at Stevenage. And basically, because he would come with his own playing budget, he got some gigs. And he came to you guys 62 games. This is in January 2012 until the 13th of February 2013. He made it just over a year. 63 games, 16 wins, 23 draws, 23 losses. What do we remember about Graham Westley?
Horrendous manager, but probably the most, like, somehow likeable. If you ever listened to Under the Kosh podcast ever listened to anything about him, the stories that you hear out of the players of, like, and, well, the truths that came out, he pretty much one time at Springfield, apparently the under-18s were using the weight room.
Right.
And so usually they had a bit of a weight training session on the pitches, and they made them use false weights and pretend that they were using weights in the middle of the pitch. So they were doing bicep curls, apparently, without any weights. And he was instructing them to do so. And another story came out. My kids call me the medal winner after winning conference finals. So, terrible manager, but an incredible person, clearly. He never really got the fans on his side. Obviously, all this came out afterwards, but you got to respect the man.
Sorry. This is coming from a guy whose company is called AMEET, which stands for Attitude is More Important Than Ability. That's what his company is. And that is his philosophy, I think, that attitude is more important than ability. So, yeah. But I know a lot of Stevenage fans that think he's wonderful, even though he's been there three times, I think. And obviously at Preston, different things. Yeah.
Well, he started his career off, I think, certainly his management career off at Farnborough, where he basically owned the club, was chairman and manager. So he bankrolled himself to do well, which then gave him the jumps to Stevenage and then in turn into league football. So, hey, if he's got it, why not? Let's go back to Phil Brown for your mark out of 10 for Phil Brown, and then your mark out of 10 for Graham Westley on whatever basis you wish.
Yeah, I'll give Phil Brown a 2.5, and I'll give Westley, just for his character, 4. He was a terrible manager, but the character that he has bumps his score up. He's quite a likeable person now, so I'll give him a 4.
I think that's what's known as the Cisco Munoz effect, I think. Somebody who probably wasn't necessarily a good manager, but a good person to have around, most certainly. One manager had one game, and he won it, and that was it, and that was John Dreyer. Now, was John Dreyer because typically your interim manager normally has strong connections with the club, or at least with the previous kind of management routine. John Dreyer, does he have any kind of legacy at Preston?
No. I think it was a very stopgap interim manager. I think he was one and out. I don't even think he was in the coaching staff after that. So he won it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He won the game. He's one of your only managers with a 100% record. I don't get much better than that.
Like David Nugent for England, one game, one goal, best striker England's ever had. So, clear winner. You can't put him lower down than a 4. Weirdly, our best manager so far, because he's got a 100% record. So, but I've got to give him anything less than a 5 for winning the only game that he needed to win.
That's fair enough. We're now stepping into this Three out of the next four have been with you for a goodly amount of time.
Yeah.
First one is the most, which is Simon Grayson. 235 games with you from February 2013 till June 2017. He won 104, drew 74, lost only 57, which is a win ratio of 42 and a half roughly, and about 1.6 points per game. Nothing to be sneezed at there. Tell us a little bit about Simon Grayson and what would be your one word and your points review for him.
Yeah, fantastic manager in League One. I think that season was one of the best seasons I've seen North End, probably because of our quality overriding everything. Preston North End being the best team in the league, something that you probably scratch your eyes at now.
Do not scratch your eyes. That's a silly thing to do.
But yeah, the players he had, and he made it effective. Jermaine Bedford and Joe Garner as a strike force in League One was absolutely sensational. And obviously, Joe Garner scored the best goal I've ever seen live at Deepdale in God knows how long against Rotherham. I've got to give him about an 8, an 8.5. Obviously, I just didn't think he made... I don't think he didn't have the right credentials for the Championship. I think League One's probably the limits of his managerial strengths. We saw that with Sunderland when he took them over and got them immediately relegated. So yeah, I'll give him an 8.
We then come to somebody who is on what we call the Paul Ince Index, which is basically managers that we've decided to put into a group because for no apparent reason we've taken a dislike to them, really quite irrationally in some cases. But one of them is Alex Neil, with you from 2017 through to 2021. 191 games, 72 wins, 48 draws, 71 defeats. So win and loss was a flip of a coin. But 39.5% win ratio, 1.5 roughly points per game. So again, still quite effective, but we might not like him. But what did the Burghers of Preston make of Alex Neil?
Loved him. Best manager we've had since Moyes, Alex Neil. And the only thing I could probably say is that he didn't get rightfully backed coming in the season. I can't remember exactly what season it was, but we were top of the league by the end of November. And it was our best chance of getting playoffs in absolutely zonks. And he publicly came out and said, I need some players in January to be able to push us over the line. It was the COVID season where when it first hit, the first COVID game was Luton Town and we ended up getting beat. But yeah, I know. But we ended up losing two players and getting Scott Sinclair on a free, and that was it. He played fantastic football. The Deepdale especially was a fortress in them couple of seasons, and I can honestly say I went to Deepdale thinking we can easily get the free... Well, not easily, we can get the 3 points today. And I've never experienced that since David Moyes, where I've gone in almost every game at home fully confident that we could go on and win. And that's the sort of manager he was. He was fantastic. He got the tactics right, played brilliant football, 4-2-3-1 counter-attacking. We had speed down the wings. It was a joy to watch at times. So I give him a 9. It's just unfortunate. Petered out for him, especially in COVID.
Do it again. Petered out.
Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, there's me again. Never mind.
Oh, you've got soundboards. Oh, nice.
Oh, yes. There you go. Anyway, more of this nonsense available, but never mind. So we come to somebody who I must confess I don't have any recollection of, Frank McAvoy. There have been many McAvoys in the game, but I don't remember Frankie McAvoy. 33 games, 14 wins, 9 draws, 10 losses. What do we make of Frankie McAvoy, who was, of course, the manager prior to your current manager?
Yeah. Do you remember him? Yeah. Postman. He was a postman. Postman before football, and his only managerial job was the North End job. And the football we played was terrible. And he got the job full time after winning 5 out of the last 8 dead rubbers. 5 of them you should have easily breezed past, but he got the job. And then when we came back after the COVID, started after the season where football fans came back and we were seeing the absolutely fantastic football that was on show, getting demolished 4-1 at home by Hull first game of the season. So just setting the stall out first and foremost. And then about 10 games in, we beat Coventry 2-1 after like our first win in 7 games. And he said, oh, that win was for the true Preston fan. Trying to undermine everyone. Yeah. So, yeah, Postman Frankie, he's only had one managerial appointment and now he's a director of football at Hearts. So I think that says a lot.
Yes, yeah. Wow. And therefore, what are you going to give him out of 10? Sorry, I think three. I lost you.
Let's play a game. Three.
No, that's
I was hoping you were going to go PR2QN or something there, really. That's what
a little postman joke.
A little postcode, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah. There's no, I don't think there's enough good jokes with postcodes at the end of them. Justin, you're affecting a real kind of revival of those. Well done. I like that. You're on your own.
That wasn't fun either. Anyway.
Right, so let's get to your current. And you can have as many words as you like about Ryan Lowe. Marks out of 10 until now, obviously. But what does Ryan Lowe need to do to push you on to the next level?
I'd say 8. I think he's had a bit of a roller coaster time, and I think he's one of those managers who he likes to talk up his game. So obviously fans are expecting a big game if he's talking it up, and when it doesn't play out like that, expectations are obviously, you've told us we're going to be like this and we're not. Mm-hmm. So I'd expect him, he's done it quite a lot where he's simmered that down a lot, and he's slowly starting to build this team around us. The one thing that I do like about Ryan Lowe is the fact that he's enforced this recruitment strategy of where, crazy, there's an actual transfer market outside of the United Kingdom. Wow. So we're signing exotic players like a Montenegrin striker, a Danish centre midfielder, and a Canadian winger who, shock horror, are better than some bums down in League Two. So, yeah, he's implemented this recruitment strategy where we're now obviously bringing in players from foreign countries, which is, word to say, you get more bang for your buck, you get better players, you get Mads, you get Liam Miller as such, albeit he's played in England. He's probably just got to find a way to not talk up the game as much, because let's be honest, we are still pressing North End. We're not the Barcelona that we were against Rotherham on Friday. We're the pressing North End that we played against Birmingham and then got played out to UB40 at the end.
Oh, don't tempt me. Don't tempt me. I'll do it again. We have got to that time where the rubber hits the road.
It's the DNSYE Completely Rubbish Prediction League.
No, God, please, no, no!
That was seamless.
It was, wasn't it? It was effortless. No editing gone on there at all. Certainly I didn't fuck up. Definitely not. Anyway, let me tell you where the scores are currently, because at least it'll get Carl back on side for me. The last game that we played, obviously, was on Saturday. On Monday, Bank Holiday Monday, against West Brom, ended up becoming a 2-2 draw. The only team in the draw that predicted a draw was, of course, 1-1. Who predicted 1-1 and therefore get 2 points? So the scores are as follows. At the top is Carlos, who had pulled away a 5-point advantage before the weekend started. Now, hot on his heels of two draws, 1-1 is on 33 points, 1 point behind you, 2 points behind you on 32 points. JP Backgammon FC, the EFL, basically steps down. This is who you're going to be representing tonight, Ollie. 25 points, the EFL. At absolute loggerheads with Justin, also on 25 points. Jarvis Cocker Spaniel, for he is still about. He's absolutely still about. He's on... Oh, shut up. He's on 23 points. And finally at the bottom is Artificial Stupidity, which is me pressing a random button, which, to be honest with you, has been the most failed experiment because it's at the bottom and I doubt very much if it's going to get any points today. Never mind. However, we mentioned this weekend, we started off with some Americans in town. And on Thursday evening, we all congregated at the Feathers before debunking to the Market Tavern, where Carlos ran and got a quite excellent quiz evening, thoroughly rinsing Callum behind the bar several times. Well done, sir. Well done. It was indeed very funny. But who turned up at the Feathers but John of JP Backgammon FC with his backgammon set, and in the garden, in the beer garden, this ensued.
Yellow, yeah. In the USA, how many cities are called Watford? Is it 3, 2, or 1? Somebody can go. Who wants to go first, and then we'll work it out.
Birthday boy first.
How many cities are there?
I'll go first. I say 2. All right,
if
fuck you.
If you're wrong, you've got 1 or 3. If you get it right...
There's a Watford.
If you get it right, you roll for Watford. If you get it wrong, Chris rolls for Watford.
We got a lot of cities. I'm going to go 3. 3.
You roll for Watford. It's 1.
Where is it?
Watford City, North Dakota.
Oh, never do that.
Population, 7,000. I've got some other
spots. Oh, I'm going to go there.
That's where we should probably go and watch a game.
Now, all of that shit so far is just as to who's going to roll the first set of dice.
I remember this.
I think we all do. But yes, we remember it with an alcoholic haze that's no longer available to us. Let's see how things carried on.
All right, so I'm going to roll.
Wait at home.
Don't be long.
We're at home.
Don't use the box.
A live backgammon set.
Right. This is something.
He's bought the backgammon set to the club.
This is for Watford.
This is for Watford.
Oh no!
It's one minus one.
Hey, I'm good for a draw. If nothing else.
Now, Chris, who's the first of the Giannonis, has rolled a 1 and a 1, which means, as everybody knows, you basically take the delta between the two dice, and that's the score in John's scoring mechanism. So he's come up with a 0. Not only that, both Chris and Nick have now seen 4 Watford games in about the last, 15 months? They've never seen anything other than a draw. A draw is definitely the way they're going. Let's see how Nick responds.
Yeah, face right. Of shame.
For Preston.
No pressure.
Birthday boy.
Come on,
here we go. Yeah.
I'd throw a dice out the door, personally, but
we're going to be rich.
No kickers.
We're going to be rich.
And there we go. It was Nick rolled a 6 and a 6, meaning that John's prediction for the game against Preston is Watford 0, Preston 0. Now, we then turn to the dog. And Ben, who is, to be quite frank with you, I think Ben was hoping that Jarvis was going to perform better than being bottom but one. And therefore, he's decided at the start of this to keep it short and sweet, as is his latest methodology. But he's really trying to inspire Jarvis to improve his performances through a well-known sporting film franchise. See if you can guess which one it is.
Mate, listen to me. You're in a dogfight at the wrong end of the table. You've got to start taking this more seriously. Stop chucking out these weird and wacky predictions that you've been doing, like a 6-5 or a Desmond 3-3. Let's have some proper predictions, mate. Start concentrating. We're on a managerial bounce with Clev's in charge. Think about that. Think about the opposition from time to time. Go out there, mate. Do a prediction that you're proud of, that can make us proud, and we'll start climbing the table, son. Let's do it. Let's do this together.
Okay, bud. Concentrate. Pick Watford's score, then. What are you going for? Here we go. Watford 3. So Watford 3. Okay, now Preston. Preston 3. You picked a Desmond 3-3. I said don't pick a Desmond 3-3. Fuck's sake. Why are you standing on the coffee table? Get down.
And there we have it. There we have it.
He is cute.
It's an homage to the Rocky films, of course. He's a Cocker Spaniel, so it's Cocky 3. Who knows? 3-3, he says. It's almost like all the draws have gone. Basically, you can't have 0-0, you can't have 1-1, and you can't have 3-3. Guess what random nonsense has come up with?
Oh, it's gone for 2-2, isn't it?
It's gone for Watford 3, Preston 5. It's random nonsense. That's the kind of thing it does. So we turn to Ollie and turn to you, sir, and say, look, what do you think the score is going to be? Coming to Watford at the weekend, you can't have 1-1, you can't have 0-0, you can't have 3-3, and you can't have 3-5 to Preston. What do you think the score is going to be?
Well, putting my sensible hat on, which is normally quite hard to do, we've played Birmingham under a managerial bounce and we've got beat. I've seen, obviously, the past two games under Watford, and albeit he dropped fairly 2 points against West Brom, but you played very well. So I'm fully expecting that to carry on. I don't think it'll be a draw. I think you'll go on and win, and I'm going to say a 2-1 Watford win.
What's he doing to me?
Dear, oh dear. Well, we turn to Justin. Justin, there at competition in the middle of the league with the EFL. He's just taken 2-1 as an option away from you. The nodding head and frowning doesn't look like you approve of Ollie's decision there to take that away from you. What do you think the score's going to be?
What's your away form like, Ollie? How's it been, especially recently?
Notoriously, it's been all right. Our away form was actually better than our home form. And I probably think it may still be due to how it's come up. We beat Coventry 3-0, but then we'll go to St Andrews and get beat 1-0. So it totally depends on which North End turns up, but notoriously shocking when things aren't going well for us.
Right, okay.
I've got the feeling that hasn't helped you.
It's not. I'm just going to go for what I think you're going to go for, annoy you.
Go on then.
So I think, knowing you're going to go, I'm going to go for Watford 3...
32 fucking Arkwright.
What was that? I don't know. I'm trying to do an impression. It's very hard to do an impression of someone that sounds like you. I'm going to go for 3-1.
It's an interesting score.
Only because I think that's what you would go for.
I can do an impression of Carl. I can do an impression of Carl. He drinks the vodka, he drinks the Jaeger, his head's fucking massive. There you go. That was, you had to be in the Market Tavern on Thursday to get that. But never mind.
Yeah, Carlos, they were singing it as well.
They were. You know the place. It was very good. Very good. Apart from PJ turning up with his superior knowledge of things, which was very, very disrespectful. That was lovely to see him, but never mind. Anyway, what do you think the score's going to be? You can't have 3-1 Watford, 2-1 Watford, 0-0, 1-1, or 3-3, or 3-5.
So something amazing happened at the West Brom game, which was I saw badly drawn Watford semi-naked because he stripped off and he had hairy nipples. And I've decided that those hairy nipples represent...
How is this going to help you predict a score?
I don't... Trust me.
In fairness, we've got Cocker Spaniel. Hairy predictions. It's not the first time. Carry on, Carl.
This
hello, badly drawn Watford, if you're listening.
Hello. This is going to be a Watford win. It's going to be Watford 1, Preston 0.
How do you get from... Because I was going to ask which nipple was home and which was away.
So he's got
how many hairs represented a goal? Huh?
He's got two nipples. You take the nipples away from the amount of hairs that are found, that leaves one.
Oh, excellent. Very much. Oh, so you're using John's kind of take the delta of the number of nipples and then the number of hairs. Excellent. Okay, good. Good. And anybody thinks this is just shoddy nonsense.
Also, I've completely made all of that up. So not the naked bit. He was generally naked. Yeah. But.
I think we should stop this next year. Anyway.
No. I think
the backgammon set should go to local pubs and random people should do
I
it.
I think
for
this
it.
Is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think this
Can
is a very good idea.
Can we afford to get him security, though?
We don't.
Hi, I'm John. Would you mind rolling some dice for me? We fuck off.
Johnny's a very. He was chatting to all sorts of tables when we were in there.
Everyone knows John, though. If you ever go anywhere with John, they go, John Parslow. And you've had it because someone's got his attention for 20 minutes. He knows everyone, John.
I think this is an excellent idea. I think the dog could go to a pub. I think, for example, Badly Drawn Watford could go to a pub, demand to see people's nipples. And I think this could work. I think next season. We could go from strength to strength. Never mind. Anyway, we will see what happens because we have got a win for Preston because random nonsense, artificial stupidity has gone 3-5 to Preston. However, random nonsense is at the bottom of the table, but that doesn't matter because we've also got 2-1 Watford wins. We've got 3-1 Watford wins. We've got 1-0 Watford wins. And then we've got a 0-0, a 1-1 and a 3-3. The only thing we don't really have is a Desmond. And we've just had two Desmonds on the spin. Would a third be too much, we see? Who knows? We shall see when it comes to the game on Saturday, Watford versus Preston North End.
Scratch your eyes, you do not. Rubbish this prediction league is.
Anyway, let's say goodbye to Ollie. Are you coming down, Ollie?
Unfortunately, I'm not making the trip down to Vicarage Road. It's albeit a lovely trip down there. I just don't fancy it.
Ollie, can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry, Ollie's getting an applause for that one.
Can I ask you a question, Ollie? Are you a vicar?
A vicar?
Yeah.
Not quite. Otherwise, I can hear every time
you come on, I can hear church bells in the background.
Oh well, funnily enough, near where I live, it's near a castle, and they have bells ringing every hour. It's quite tedious, actually. It's just part and parcel of what you have to put up with in Preston. It's probably not what I've signed up for, looking as I look like a vicar.
I just had visions of you locked in a cupboard somewhere doing a podcast while...
Yeah. Well, my bell ringing service starts at 9 anyway, so I've got at least 34 minutes.
And also, we got through that recording, by the way, without me making any reference to a Danny Boyle film, which I promised I wouldn't do this time round. So you're very safe there, Ollie. I'm not going to mention the 1996 classic Danny Boyle film starring Ewan McGregor and Kelly MacDonald. I'm not doing it this time round. Out of my system. Right. Let's go. Let's say goodbye to Ollie. Thank you very much for being a wonderful guest once again on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Brilliant.
I suspect we will be doing it again next season. So hopefully you will come back on and go through this all over again.
Come on and be accused of bell ringing again.
Looking like a clergyman, which is great.
I'll have to change up the outfit next time as well.
Can I just say before you leave, I said that as a compliment.
I fully anticipated it, as Carlos. I should have got a white piece of paper and just...
That would have been excellent. That would be excellent.
The thing is, sitting next to you in the windows like this on StreamYard, Carl now is going back to his Catholic upbringing. He feels like he's in confession. So me and Peter might disappear and leave you two to it for a bit, and you can... Confess your sins, Carl. Have you got 4 or 5 hours, Ollie?
I was going to say, you're going to need a base.
Right, let's say goodbye. Thank you very much for coming on, Ollie. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much for coming on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Thanks for having me on again, guys. I'll speak to you next season.
Cheers, Ollie.
Man, Ollie.
Take care, mate.
See you later. Take care, guys.
Lovely stuff.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.